Hello and welcome to Leveraging AI, the podcast that shares practical, ethical ways to leverage AI to improve efficiency, grow your business, and advance your career. This is Isar Matis, your host, and we are going to have a blast today. The reason we're going to have a blast is if you've been listening to the show for a while, we always come up with an expert on a specific topic and we dive into that and we talk about how to do different things. And today is not going to be much different, only the fact that my guest today, Jordan Wilson, and I has been going back for a while. We both really are into AI. We both have agencies helping people doing AI, which means we're totally AI geeks, which means you're going to have a blast geeking about multiple AI use cases and how Jordan in his agency is using it today, literally to help his company and his clients. A little bit of background about Jordan. So Jordan's background is running a marketing agency. He has done this for many years now, and he knows that field very well. And in the past year, he also runs an AI consulting agency in tandem to running the marketing agency. And obviously the two intertwined, and a lot of really cool stuff comes out of that. So he's an expert on marketing. He's an expert on AI. And we're going to dive into many really cool, useful use cases on how you can use AI to just save time in your day-to-day life of your business. Jordan, my friend, I'm really happy to have you. Welcome to Leveraging AI.
In the next few years, AI technology will change our world dramatically. Whether you are a business executive trying to catapult your business forward, or just somebody who refuses to be left behind and want to advance your career, this is the show for you. I'm your host, Isar Matis, a serial entrepreneur and an AI enthusiast. You'll hear invaluable practical tips from innovative business leaders, AI practitioners, and some of the brightest AI minds in our world today on how you can leverage AI in ethical ways to advance your career and grow your business.
Isar, thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm going to try my best to keep my dork to like a medium level, because yeah, like you and me, we could get wild and in the weeds with it, but I'll try to keep it up to a somewhat non-geeky level as to hopefully be extremely helpful to your audience. So thanks for having me on.
I appreciate that. And stop me if I do. So I didn't say that. Jordan has his own podcast as well. So we're going to talk about that probably later on. So we can keep tab on each other to make sure we're staying within fair boundaries in this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's get started. What are some of the main use cases that you use AI? And before we dive on to like content production and stuff like that, I know you use like a gazillion different tools and tricks, Chrome extensions, stuff like that. What are the main things you're using on daily basis?
Oh, such a good question. And you gave me the hardest thing to try to give you a succinct answer. So on a daily basis, I'll say I usually use between 15 to 20 different AI tools.
Oh, say why, but if I count, I'm probably in the same rough numbers.
Yeah. It's not a lot. Like I actually have a spreadsheet of how many subscriptions that we have, and it's in the hundreds. So 15 is actually not a lot. Our number one tool by far is ChatGPT. Yeah. Use that the most. For certain use cases, we use Anthropic's Claude, their new Opus 3, or their new Claude 3 Opus model, I think is really good. Use Gemini for certain use cases from Google. Use CastMagic, right? Speaking of like things like a podcast or for meetings, CastMagic is fantastic. It's something we use literally multiple times a day. So many different Chrome extensions. I like one called Voila, where you can pre-save some miniature prompts, but then you can interact with a web page in different ways, have it automatically grab you different information or bullet point something, however you like to use it. In Perplexity, my gosh, I can't get enough of Perplexity. And I think that's something great. It's like a great entry. I'd hate to say the word like gateway drug. If you really want to start winning back your time with generative AI, I think Perplexity is one of the best and easiest ways to start doing that, but has a very easy interface to learn. And the amount of time that you can save with Perplexity, or as an example, switching your default browser over to Google's search generative experience, SGE, kind of their AI powered search. I think that's just some way that people can start to win back time immediately. But yeah, that's my shortest answer possible for AI tools that I'm using every single day. I know I only gave 5 out of 15.
So great. I want to say a few things. First of all, for those of you who don't know Perplexity, it probably means you haven't been listening to the show for a while, but I love Perplexity. Perplexity, I always like to say that it's as if Google and ChatGPT had a baby. So it's a great way to get in, like Jordan said, because it allows you to do search, but in a new kind of way. So instead of seeing 1,000 results and you have to figure out which one you want to jump into, it gives you the answer, but it gives you links to where these answers were curated from. And then if you want to follow deeper and see more information, you can jump to those or keep on having a chat to dive deeper into more information. Then it's going to give you more links. And so it's a great way to do research, much better than the traditional way of just searching. But it's also a large language model. You can actually do the things you can do with ChatGPT. You can prompt it and get results just like you would do with any other model. So I agree with you. I use that probably today more than I use Google.
Yeah. And I think that's smart. Even if you're talking about it on the content production side, like another thing, unless you really know what you're doing inside of ChatGPT, you're probably going to get fewer hallucinations and perplexity, right? Just because it has a better ability to read and summarize 20 different sources at once. Whereas even if you are quote unquote internet connected via ChatGPT with Browse with Bing or another GPT, sometimes it's relying on a single source, right? So if you are actually using something for content production, you are going to reduce your likelihood or occurrence rate of hallucinations by tenfold. That's just an arbitrary number, but by a great factor by using or starting in perplexity just because of it works differently than all the other models do right now.
Cool. Two more things. One is I want to add and then ask you, and then another follow-up question. So the thing I want to add, you talked about your Voila Chrome extension. I use something called Magical Chrome extension. I assume they do very similar things. But the trick is for everybody listening is the easiest way to make sure that you're getting consistent results out of these models is to have consistent prompting. And it takes a while to develop good prompts. And I'm sure we're going to talk more about that later on in the episode. But if you want multiple people in your business or even just yourself to have consistent long prompts, you need to save them somewhere, which is what's called a prompt library, right? You want to save a database of all the really good prompts that do different things in your business. And some people save it on a Google Doc. Some people save it on Notion. Some people save it on Slack, like whatever, it doesn't really matter. But having it in a Chrome extension, especially one that, and again, I don't know Voila, I use Magical, but I assume it's very similar. It allows you to save a very long piece of text or a short piece of text, doesn't matter, and save a shortcut for it. So then all you have to write is the 4-5 different characters you saved as a shortcut, and it spits out the entire prompt, which makes it the most user-friendly prompt library there is. So I'm wondering if that's how you're using it, and if you are, if you have any tips on how to perfect the process.
Yeah. Definitely. And I don't know if happy to share my screen here, maybe to walk people through, and I can do my best as well to explain for people on the podcast. And hopefully, I know sometimes Chrome extensions don't always show up in recording. So we'll see here. One thing that I think is like pivotal for using any, whether it's a Chrome extension or Perplexity, is because it's so hard to read news articles right now, right? Because all these big online publishers are losing traffic to the Perplexities, ChatGPTs, Copilot, et cetera. They have to throw on just way more ads, right? So yeah. I'm on this webpage here from CNBC. And if you're listening on the podcast, you can't see a single word, right? Because there are literally so many ads. And if I go to scroll down, it doesn't get a lot better. CNBC's website.
You get a paragraph and a half, and then an image, and then a paragraph and a half, and then a video, and then a paragraph and a half, and then whatever. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So it's actually, I think this website's a little better. But so anyways, the Voila Chrome extension, I love it. And Isar, what you were saying, it does give you a very easy way to manage your prompts. And full disclosure, we don't use a lot of share prompts, except in these cases for Chrome extensions. In this case, I love it because it's 2 to 3 clicks and we're off to the races. I can just click this Chrome extension right up here in the toolbar, or there is a keyboard shortcut. So I can just click it. And then I have these different saved prompts. So what I usually use this for is to summarize news articles around AI, because I talk about AI all the time. I like to keep up. So I've built these prompts to help explain all of these different news sources to me in a way that I like to learn. So at least in this Chrome extension called Voila, you can create folders that then have separate prompts inside, or you can save favorites. These are the two that I would use the most. I just named them AI news bullet points and AI news summarized informal. So I literally read so much AI news, it's gross, but those are my saved ones. So here we go. It's one click to launch. I do have to click one more time for something that says use current page as context. But then from there, all I have to do is then click the prompt that I want, the saved prompt. And it's a long prompt. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but essentially it says, please summarize this page in bullet points in an engaging and insightful way as if you were an AI reporter covering AI news. And then I go on, it jumped down because it's already done, right? But then I go on and I give examples of things that I want to highlight, things that I don't necessarily want to highlight, the tone of voice, et cetera. And yeah, it's already done, but now this page is summarized in a way that you can cut through the clutter, a way that even for me, I can read this, right? Sometimes I read news recaps on my show as an example, right? But this is something no matter what you're doing, even if it's something learning, right? If you are constantly reading news in your industry, which I hope most people who are in charge and growing big companies, hopefully they're doing this. This is just one easy way within two clicks, you can have something just tailored to exactly how you want to be using it.
That's very cool. So it's a little different than the one I'm using. But for those of you who are not watching this on YouTube or watching a short snippets of this on LinkedIn, then what it does, it literally pops up a pop-up window that has saved prompts. And again, in this particular case, it's the prompt is summarize this page, and then it summarizes in whatever form you like to summarize it. And again, to generalize it, this doesn't have to be news. This could be, because it's a browser extension, like a Chrome extension, this could be your Gmail account, like summarize this email to me, or this could be a proposal document that you need to write or respond to, or RFP, or whatever it is that you want. You can save these prompts, and then it will do that process for you, giving you an immediate outcome without having to copy and paste and reference and download and then upload it to ChatGPT and all these things. It happens right there and then. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And another, you also have to take the time. I think this is important to talk about because sometimes people overlook this. No matter what AI tool or software solution that you're using, I think you really have to take the time to understand how it works. Yeah. Because as an example, right, there's even in this one very specific tool, there's different settings, right? As an example, if you are using something like this, aside from taking in context from the actual page, which is at least for this prompt, this is exactly what we're doing. But you also want to make sure, again, one of the biggest things you need to keep in mind if you're using large language models, generative AI, is hallucinations. This specific Chrome extension also has the ability to query the web at the same time if you direct it to. That's important to keep in mind as well, is do all these tools have web access? Do Chrome extensions have web access? How do you use them? Can you verify? Can you cite? Can you attribute all of this information that you're pulling in from the correct source? I think that's really important to at least know how all of these different tools or softwares work.
Great point. I agree 100%. There's part of the trick is knowing what tools to use when, and the other part of the trick is how to maximize the benefit of each and every one of the tools, like you just said, which is a great segue to my next question. So you said that you're using Claude every now and then for different use cases, using Gemini every now and then for different use cases. Can you share when, and you said mostly ChatGPT and then some Claude, some Gemini. When do you go to Gemini? When do you go to Claude? What did you find that these tools do better than ChatGPT? And that's obviously true for April 8th at 4:32 p.m. when we're recording this, because this might be wrong tomorrow because something may happen. I'm just like stating the obvious, I hope. But yeah, as of right now, what are the use cases you go to Claude and why? And what are the use cases you go to Gemini and why?
Yeah, great. I'm so glad you put that asterisk in there because yeah, like by the time we're done recording, a third of what we talk about could in theory be changed by then. Yeah. No, that's a great question. I do think especially with Anthropic's new Claude 3 Opus model, there's actually use cases for it now, because if I'm being honest, until this new update, I didn't use Claude. I would use it to say, okay, has it improved? Is it getting better? How is it getting better? I still don't use Claude a lot. Here's what I do use it for. I use it for to take content from another language model or working in conjunction with Perplexity. One of my quote unquote biggest gripes about Claude, which hopefully it will change, considering just a couple of days ago, they introduced the ability to connect to the web for developers. But if most of us, if we're going in and using Claude's default chat interface, it's not yet connected to the web. However, presumably, if they're offering this functionality for developers, they will be bringing it in-house if you're using it on their website. So a lot of times what I am using Claude for is when I'm not getting maybe ideal outputs out of ChatGPT, I'll either take the output that is up to date from ChatGPT, because again, Claude's not connected to the internet, or if I'm taking something from Perplexity and bringing it into Claude. So I do think where Claude shines right now, obviously it's memory. That context window is very large, which is great, especially if you're working with large blocks of text as input or output. I think Claude is great at some more advanced task like coding. I think its coding capabilities have really improved, as well as by default, it's really good at creative writing. I do think you can spend more time in ChatGPT or Gemini and get better results. I think Gemini is actually pretty good out of the box as well. So I think Claude has its use cases now, very specifically when you don't have to worry about recency, or if you're taking content or text that is for sure 100% up to date and 100% recent, and then I feel confident using it in there. What I'm using Claude for a lot is like a second opinion, or I have two big monitors. I split those monitors in half. Normally, always, if I'm doing like heavy kind of quote unquote large language model work, I have two ChatGPTs open, Perplexity, and then either a Claude or a Gemini. What I'm using Gemini for, it's funny, right? We have an enterprise account for our work emails, but for whatever reason, we have more capabilities in our free Gmail accounts, because there's still, if you have a Google Workspace account, there's still some features that are not available that you have in a free Gmail account. When I am using Gemini, one thing that I love doing, because I am learning so much, before I go learn and I watch a long video, I'll use Gemini via the free version, even though I'm paying for a paid version, connect to YouTube. I'll get a pre-summary of a long video that I'm about to watch so I can get bullet points. And then beforehand, if there's a topic that I don't know, I'll ask Gemini to explain it before I even invest the time, because I am usually watching long 1 hour, 1.5, 2 hour videos on YouTube. And I like to have a good idea and understanding maybe of any terminology that I'm not aware of, or maybe just to get a better understanding to make sure that time that I'm spending watching that, I'm not just like scratching my head and Googling something in another window so I can be present while watching and learning.
Awesome. I love the use cases. I'll say one thing specifically about Claude. So I use Claude a lot, mostly for content creation based on summarization of something else. I still, even though we have a GPT that does take our podcast content and turns it into whatever, Claude still does it better with less effort. So it's exactly how you put it. Like, I can get to the same level in ChatGPT. It's just going to be better, longer prompting. And I get better natural language that sounds like me, just dropping it into Claude and asking it to create it as whatever I need to create it. A LinkedIn post, YouTube description, like whatever it is that the content I'm trying to create. So I find that when it comes to creation of content based on a longer form written content, Claude does a better job than ChatGPT right now. Again, you can get to it with ChatGPT just with a little more effort. So I'm with you on that 100%. I also agree with you that it drives me nuts that it's still not connected to the internet. Now we got used to it. But as you mentioned, I go to Perplexity for that anyway, so I can from there connect it to anything I want to connect. Awesome. So great stuff, like really good ideas and good use cases. What other stuff, like maybe in your agency, that you're using tools, like different AI tools, and what are you using them for?
Great question. Okay, I'll try to mention some new ones maybe that we haven't talked about too much so far. So yeah, aside from using ChatGPT literally all day, another great tool is Jasper, which is a kind of an AI copywriting tool. So it is based on the GPT kind of technology, but it has been trained a little bit more specifically on content writing. So Jasper, it's actually how like our company and how even myself, you know, I really got, quote unquote, involved in AI because we were, I think we signed up, it was called Jarvis at the time. I think this was late 2020, along with a tool Copy AI. So some of those tools we've been using now for 3.5-4 years. I think that's great for SEO, right? Like we use it for our own SEO. We'll take our own written content that we produce. A lot of times we produce it with human. I know that's backwards, but that's more of a very technical SEO question. But then we'll take what we already created and put it into Jasper. And we do this for clients as well. So we'll produce content in-house with humans. We use AI tools to help do blog post outlines, to do research, to really make that part faster. But for the most part, it's obviously a blend, but we do have a lot of human written content on the front end because I think AI is not really quite there yet. But Jasper, I think, is great for filling in the dots. And it's something that we're starting to see this now. Gemini released this ability about 2 weeks ago where you can edit something in the middle, right? So you can get a very long output from Google Gemini, from their large language model. And let's say it's 1,000 words and there's maybe two pieces in the middle that you're like, this isn't really good. Traditionally, that's where people spend a lot of time editing it manually or trying to go back and forth, and you just lose time, right? Now with Google Gemini, you can edit in the middle, but that's what you've had all along with tools like Jasper, which is kind of like this in-document ability to use the GPT technology. So that's one that we're using all the time for our clients. We've used before for clients and for ourselves, obviously AI images, right? It's great for blog posts that maybe you don't have a great photo for, and you don't necessarily need anything that's studio quality. It's more filler content in the middle of a blog, but using something like Midjourney is great for that. I don't think OpenAI's DALL-E is quite there yet, but I do believe it will get there sometime soon. So yeah, we have a lot of just of those different AI tools. Phrase is one. So that's Phrase with an F, another great one. They actually have their own model that it's based off. Even just with AI tools and copywriting tools, we use dozens of them. Those Jasper, formerly called Jarvis, Copy AI, Phrase, I think are three of the better ones that we're using pretty consistently, both for ourselves and for some of our clients.
Phenomenal. I want to touch on 2 points you mentioned just to dive in a little deeper or highlight specific things. So for those of you who are not familiar with Jasper or Copy AI, or there's 10 of them, but Jasper was one of the first. And it's the biggest difference, and yes, you can do similar things with ChatGPT, but there's two huge benefits to using these tools. Other two tools that I know of that are very good. There's two tools called Writer. One is spelled properly, W-R-I-T-E-R, and the other is R-Y-T-R. And they're both content creation tools that are AI-based. And I'll add links to all of those in the show notes. But the biggest benefits of these tools is, one, they're geared towards content creation, meaning the creation process of a single individual or several individuals, from ideation to outline to perfecting the outline to writing the different sections to reviewing, like all that work is built into the tool, which makes it a lot easier than just figuring it out on your own with wizardry of prompting on ChatGPT or Claude. And the other thing is that the model itself is built to write content. It was trained on writing blog posts and stuff like that. So it just does a better job in this very particular task. And so I highly recommend using these tools if you're writing a lot of content. So that's number one. The other thing has to do with what you said as far as between Midjourney and using, lost the name, DALL-E. Thank you. Like the drawing tool of ChatGPT. Yeah, DALL-E. Thank you. So I would say from a pure quality perspective, Midjourney is still king. Like you can get better outcome with Midjourney, hands down, no question asked. That being said, for people who are getting started, getting results with DALL-E are a lot faster. And in many cases, good enough. If you don't need an incredible image, but a good image would be good enough, you will probably get there faster as a beginner with DALL-E for two different reasons. One, it understands context. You can explain to it what you're working on. You can upload your PowerPoint presentation. You can upload your blog post and tell it, hey, I want after the first two paragraphs, I want a image. What do you suggest we do? Give me three options. And he will tell you what the three options. Like, okay, I like option two, but I want to change this thing that you suggested. Create the image for me, and it will. And that's something you cannot do in Midjourney. Now, the other thing that it's very good at doing is it's a chat. So if you like some of the image, you can say, oh, this is a great idea, but I actually like a darker background and I want the tree to be an orange tree. So do that. Now, to be fair, it doesn't fix the old image. It actually recreates the image. But if you'll help it understand what you're trying to change is what you want to keep, it will do that. And by the way, as of yesterday, you can highlight a segment of the image in DALL-E and ask it to change just that. So even that is getting better in DALL-E, but I agree with you that as far as hardcore, give me the best image possible, Midjourney is going to beat it hands down as of April 8th, 4:44, as we said before. Let's talk a little bit about your podcast content creation, because I think, I assume you're doing a lot there with AI tools. Tell me what you're doing. I'm sure there's like cool stuff that you're doing with it as far as getting content from one format to a different format and so on.
Yeah, I'd say even in the podcast, by the time I usually wake up pretty early because it's live every day at 7:30 my time. So I'm in Chicago. Today I was up at 5:30. And usually in the first like hour or two of my day, I've already used at least a handful of AI tools. So yeah, I've already talked about using Perplexity, using Voila. Another thing that I use every single day is we have what we call like trained chats within ChatGPT, essentially where we can give it a couple URLs, it knows exactly what to do. And what people don't know, which I think is a great, I don't know if you'd call it like a hack, but if you do it correctly, you can even use a Google News URL as an example. If you have a Google News URL, and let's say you're trying to learn about, let's say you're in logistics and you're in logistics for the auto industry, right? You can tweak and get a Google News URL, feed that into ChatGPT, use the right GPT, and you can literally learn about what's going on in your entire industry just by knowing how a large language model like ChatGPT works, knowing how to prompt it, training it a little bit, but you can save. I know a lot of people spend multiple hours a day just trying to keep up with what's going on in their industry because that might be required of them. And now you can do that with one click. That's what I do every single morning. I click once and we're off to the races and learning. So yeah, there's a lot of AI both on the front end and then on the back end as well.
Let me pause you for a second on the click once, because I know exactly what you mean, but I think a lot of people are listening. What do you mean you click once? How do you click once and you get like a news summary? Walk us through your process or your prompt or however detailed you want on what does that mean? Because I think I'll go back and again, generalize what you said. This could be a link to a news thing, but this could be a feed from your boss or your developers or whatever source, whatever digital web-based source of information that you want to look at daily and get a quick recap of the information in it, this can do. And so I think it would be really cool for you to dive into this, because again, if you generalize it, almost everybody has something like this that they need to review regularly and decide what's interesting, what's less relevant, more relevant, what they want to dive into and so on.
Yeah. Let's do it. And this is one of those, I'll try to share my screen here, Isar. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, this is essentially, let's see if we can get it there. All right. So yeah, in ChatGPT, so what a lot of people don't understand about ChatGPT is it has a memory. You can teach it things as long as you keep in this context window of 32,000 tokens, which is about 26,000 words. And as long as you're going back and checking it, it's essentially an employee that you've trained, right? I haven't gone on and checked that it's retained all of its knowledge, but I'm assuming it has. But in this case, I essentially have a trained chat in here. It has access to the different tools that it needs. Actually, once I mention this GPT, then it will. So let me just go ahead. So this one, as an example, it's going to be using, if it stops listening to my voice, see if we can't get that there. All right, I'm going to go ahead and refresh this because it keeps annotating my voice and it won't stop because I think I hit a button here. We'll do this. We'll do this in another window. Oh, no, we can't. All right. So my computer is being taken over right now with voice
The AI.
Which is fun. So I'll just have to do my best to describe it, not showing it on the screen. So sorry about that. Essentially, have a prompt kind of saved. But all we really actually need to do is drop a Google News URL. And this kind of chat in here knows exactly how to make it work. So it uses what's called a GPT. The GPT that I like to use a lot is WebReader. And people might wonder, if you use ChatGPT a lot, you might wonder, why would you use a GPT when it is connected? ChatGPT is connected to the internet via Browse with Bing. We've done a lot of kind of quote unquote blind testing on this, and it's not actually connected. That's the thing that people don't really realize, right? If you give the default mode in ChatGPT, if you give it a URL, all it actually does is it queries or it bings the different words in your URL. So a lot of times it might go to the correct page. A lot of times it might not, which is why in this case, why I'm doing my morning recap of this Google News result, I'm using a GPT, because a GPT like WebReader will go to that specific URL. It doesn't query it. It visits that page, which by default Browse with Bing and even Google Gemini cannot do, which is important. So all it's doing is it's going to this page. It's looking at all these different headlines, because depending on how you tweak that URL, you can do a lot of things with a Google search. If you want to get super technical, you can talk about Boolean. You can talk about and or conditions, but you can get a really hyper-personalized Google search URL. You can go in and use a GPT reader like WebReader, and it will literally, if you train it, it will go through and just pull out only that information that you care about. So in this instance, there's 50 results on this Google News page around the specific topics that I care about. And it's just giving me a recap of the 12 that I think, or that it thinks, according to what I taught it, are most relevant for what I care about. And then it writes me quick little summary of each, so I don't have to go in and read 50 or 12 different headlines. That's a recap. Yeah, sorry.
This was awesome. I want to say two things, and then I will let you answer the thing that I can answer, but I want you to answer it. So first of all, for those of you who don't know what a GPT is, so a GPT is like a mini, small, very well fine-tuned version of ChatGPT that is supposed to do something very specific. And you can develop them yourselves if you're paying the $20 a month. So you can build a little tiny machine that does something very specific. In this particular case, read and summarize web pages. And there's already, I think, over 4 million of them who exist in the wild, and probably a lot more that are not shared. So I have many that I create for my business that I didn't share into the wild. And so there's, I don't know how many of them already created, but probably a lot of millions. But the cool thing is, if you find the one that does the thing you needed to do, like in this particular case, WebReader, you can use it either on its own or within your chat. And the benefit of using it is within your chat is, as Jordan mentioned, you can write your own prompt and not just use the thing on its own. So all I want you to answer is how you connect the two. How do you bring the GPT, who lives in quote-unquote the GPT store, into a chat that you're now prompting yourself or having a chat with yourself?
Great question. And I'm glad you asked me, because there is a common mistake that even the quote-unquote the smartest people in the world who are teaching ChatGPT to others, everyone's making the same mistake, and it's this. You should never, and I repeat this, never use a GPT in its own dedicated mode, okay? So if you are, and Isar, thank you for the explanation of GPTs, because I just skipped over that. But here's the reason. You can use, each GPT has its own interface, right? And most people make the mistake of using the GPT in its own interface, because a couple of months ago, ChatGPT introduced the ability to call what's called mentions, right? That WebReader GPT. When I was trying to share my screen, I wasn't in the WebReader GPT interface. I was in the default mode of ChatGPT, and I was mentioning, right? So people say, oh, you can just use the WebReader GPT and then mention other GPTs. Yes, you can. That's a mistake that everyone is making. Here's why. So many GPTs, when you're using them, they have custom configuration instructions. And there's a little hack that you can use and you can read what people put in their configurations. But so many times these GPTs that especially other people make, and you might not know how or why, and even OpenAI has some great GPTs that they make, but all of these GPTs essentially tell ChatGPT to act in a certain way or to respond in a certain way, or maybe it doesn't even have web access enabled, or it doesn't have maybe DALL-E or code interpreter. So there's actually so many restrictions that people by default, and for good reason, build into their GPTs. Don't, like, I even forgot what the original question was. I just went on a small rant there. Isar, is people should never use GPTs in a dedicated GPT mode, because you're going to think, oh, I can just keep working on this other project and it's going to be working as it should. Not necessarily, unless you've done the research and you've done that little hack and you can read how this GPT was configured to respond. But this is causing so many people to get bad outputs out of ChatGPT, or just hallucinations, because they may not know, oh, this GPT has cut off access to browse with Bing. So you're just pulling in then information that is now 13 months old, again, increasing your likelihood for hallucinations.
Brilliant. The technical question that I ask is how you actually mention a GPT within a chat.
See, I went off on a side tangent there, Isar. So thanks for bringing me back. Yeah, it's super simple. So if you use social media, it's just like an at. So you just hit the at command on your keyboard, shift 2, I think for most keyboards is what it is. And then it's going to auto-populate a list of GPTs that you've already used, right? So first you have to go in into that quote unquote default mode and you have to use it once. And then from that point, anywhere else you are. So if you are in the default mode, you have to be in obviously the paid version. You don't get this in the free version of GPT 3.5, but then anywhere else after you've used a GPT once, yeah, all you have to do is just hit that at key and start typing it, or your most recent ones are going to show there. So very similar to at tagging someone in social media.
Awesome. Just to recap this last part, there are, again, 3 million GPTs. Out of them, probably 2,950,000 are shit, which means there are 50,000 that are not shit. Out of those, probably 10% are incredibly valuable, which means that there's about 5,000 really valuable GPTs out there that you can use for many different things in your business. And as Jordan said, the best thing to do is to go find them, and you find them either by their, if you go to the GPT store, which the way to do this, it's on the top left corner of your OpenAI ChatGPT regular interface. There is a browse GPTs like button. You click on that. It shows you all the GPTs that are public, and you can either just scroll through that or follow different people like Jordan or myself or the other people that you like to follow about AI, and they will tell you what they're using and what cool stuff is out there and so on, and just try them out. And once you try them out and you find something you like, you can bring it into your universe, right? So you can have your own prompts, your own custom instructions, your own chat. As Jordan mentioned, it's the same chat that he's been running for the last 3 months. So it knows what he likes. It knows the whole history. It knows everything that happened in that chat. And all you're doing is bringing information from that GPT into your chat, your universe, your setup, your everything, which I find brilliant. I must admit that I'm one of the idiots that until 5 minutes ago used the GPTs as their native format. To be fair, 95% of GPTs I use, I created, so I don't have that problem. But I think still it's a very good advice. Jordan, this was absolutely amazing. I think we touched on so many things that people can use on a regular basis. If people want to work with you, follow you, listen to your podcast, follow your content, what are the best ways to do that?
Yeah. So if, first of all, I have to shout you out for bringing me on, because your podcast is great, your content's great. But yeah, if you ever want to double down, if you need multiple podcasts a day and you're looking for one more, yeah, it's just the website is youreverydayai.com. So we do it literally a live show every single day. We talk to, Isar's been on the show, but then we talk to people who, you know, from, as an example, Microsoft and NVIDIA and AI startups, people who talk about ethics. So we just bring guests on from all different walks of life, so you can learn about it every single day, tune in live, or just the normal, look for Everyday AI on Spotify, Apple, wherever you catch all your podcasts.
and on LinkedIn. He's sharing awesome stuff. And I'm going to jump. You're not very good at promoting yourself, bro. But
so I know I'm terrible at it.
You can follow Jordan on LinkedIn. He's sharing amazing stuff literally every single day because he's interviewing people and learning new stuff every single day. Jordan, this was an absolute blast. I had high expectations and we totally blew through those expectations. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking the time and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.